Time now for Fitzy and Mego with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Center, here we go. Stevenson on the take. Stevenson is in for the touchdown. And with 22 seconds left, the New England Patriots have taken the lead.
The New England Patriots Pro Shop is currently open for Josh Uche buyback jersey evening. That's unfortunate for everybody. That's
not true, is it, Fitzy?
No, it's not.
Okay. It's like, I know they've done that on at least one occasion.
I don't know.
Think just making a trade would qualify people for it, though.
It does make you wonder, though, if there should be some statute of limitations, like a player has to be with a team for at least 2 years. For if you buy a jersey to be able to go in and swap it out for a different one or bring it in and get like 50% off. But hey, listen, maybe that 2 years was impactful, you know?
Fitzy, have you ever had a jersey that you bought prematurely and it really pissed you off that you have it?
No, I was always
like,
very cautious.
Not just
actually,
Patriots,
I could never really afford
Patriots,
them.
Like any jersey, like t-shirt.
Oh, like did I buy a jersey or a shirt for a movie and then I saw the movie and like, oh man, this movie sucks.
Have you done that?
No, actually, I'm very, very cautious. I'm extremely cautious, not with my money in general, like some people at the station that I like to say are thrifty, but of course, in reality, they're really just cheap. I don't actually. I've never, most of them have just been gifted to me, I have to say, over the years. I've been very, there's been jersey benevolence, which I've been part and privy to, which has been very nice. But nope, no Josh Uche jerseys for me. He will be the new Tom Bahali with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was traded away today. But we are not here right now to bemoan the state of Josh Uche stands in Patriots Nation. We are rather here on the Fitzy and Mego Show, a.k.a. the WEEI evening program for Monday, October 28th, 2024. Just 3 days away from All Hallows Eve, Mego. Very excited to talk about yesterday's thrilling last-minute victory for your New England Patriots over Admiral Ayahuasca and the Darkness Retreaters, the New York Jets. I know everyone wants to tell you, I know everyone wants to make you feel badly that the Patriots won a game and blew their draft pick, and now they can't get the tackle that they needed so desperately, or they're not going to have the number one pick, which someone else would want to trade for, and then you'd get more picks, so you can't screw up your future. We're here to tell you tonight that you were allowed to enjoy that victory, that you are allowed to continue with the victory Monday afterglow, that you are allowed to be, dare I say, even a touch more optimistic about the immediate future of your football team. If you would like to call in and weigh in with your feelings on the Patriots, Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, Ramondre Stevenson, Josh Uche, the Darkness Retreaters, Aaron Rodgers, and so much more. We're at 617-779-7937. Text line is open for business, as always monitored by producer extraordinaire Joe Braverman. That's 37937. And our socials at Megan_Ottolini and at FitzyGFY. All right, Mego, you've had 26 hours now.
Wow.
26 plus. With a full Patriots Monday. Lots of coaches, lots of players, lots of analysts regionally, nationally, and your own feelings to sit and marinate on how the Patriots pulled that one off yesterday. How are you feeling a day later after the Pats' second win of the season, first at home, and first at Gillette in over a calendar year?
Wow, I hadn't realized it had been that long for Gillette, but I'll say they absolutely needed this. And these like cynical dummies who are coming out and saying that they're worried
what?
About
cynical dummies.
Cynical
wow.
dummies who are talking about they'd want the number one pick overall. Like, I am just so not about that. Some people are just never going to be happy. Like, that's what it is. Some people, every day, I say sometimes, like, people who complain a lot, I try to be generous about it and say that they don't really know how to make small talk. So their way of making small talk is just like complaining. I know people like that. And it's not necessarily like they're overwhelmingly negative. They just don't know another way to be. And being a one-win team is a horrible way to go through the season, especially when you're spending more than the second half of the season developing your rookie quarterback.
Like being fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
You have to build something. Oh, okay, like it's totally fine to look at the roster and say, 3 years from now, 75% of this roster is turned over, you know? Like, it's a totally different-looking locker room for the most part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, probably. I'm not sure that there's a whole bunch of foundational guys in this locker room. But at the same time, you can't just, like, turn into this complete clown show that you were devolving into last week and survive the rest of the season that way. And it's not even to me about whether or not you think Jerod Mayo's the right guy. And if you want to see him going forward, guess what? No matter what, I think he's getting at least to the second season. So, you know, that second season has been renewed as far as it looks to me. So,
yeah, the headline of Variety, yeah, like the Mayo experience renewed for season two.
Yeah. So it's all to say I feel mostly the same way that I felt yesterday, which is this is good for the team. It's good for the franchise. If you're freaking out over your position between having the fourth pick and having the first overall pick, and you're starting to lose your mind because you want to package the first overall pick and go down and get a bunch of other small first round picks, like, oh my God, then you sound like what you fear Elliot Wolf is to me, which is that you'll only do this through the draft and you think that the franchise is never going to spend any money. I feel like the people who are focused on their draft position right now are just utter curmudgeons. And I don't really understand why you watch football. Maybe you should just watch the draft board for the entire year.
You can't tell a bunch of grown men who have been playing football for decades of their life, who are contesting for paychecks, who have pride, who love this game very much, and who want to make sure that they actually get to stay on this team the rest of the year, let alone continue with them next year or continue in the league. You can't tell them, hey, it's in our team's best interest to try to lose as many games as possible so that we can get a better draft pick next year. So even though the Jets suck, and the Jets are going to do everything they can to lose, we need you guys to do more than them to lose this football game. So go in the tank, drop balls, miss assignments, complain on the sideline. It goes against their programming. It goes against why you asked them to be a part of your football team in the first place. It goes against why you drafted them or you compensated them well. It just, that's not how it works. And I'd like to remind you and everyone else within the sound of our voices just exactly how grueling, how exhausting, how annoying, how frustrating, how upsetting last week was. Soft football team. Mayo's got to go. Rumors of the Patriots. Unfounded, completely salacious, ridiculous, idiotic rumors of the Patriots dismissing Jerod Mayo last week that came up from God knows where. Everything that went around. It was a drag covering the team, talking Patriots, and basically just being a football fan last week. And with one win, I'm not telling you all is healed, all is right, all is well with the New England Patriots or in Pat's Nation, but you can look at a bunch of games the rest of the way and think, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to pay attention to that one because they got a shot in that one. Hey, that seems like a real good game for Drake May to let it rip. Hey, that might be a good ground and pound physical affair. Hey, I think I'm going to watch more football games than I had been planning on it because your team is going to give it their all. It was great for Jerod Mayo. I don't have any mixed feelings on this whatsoever. It was great, great, great to see the team respond for Jerod Mayo. And on top of it all, you know what was great? A bunch of guys who I barely knew the name of, Mego, like Roy and Ellis filling in for your Bentleys. Obviously, Uche is gone now. Iquale was a healthy scratch. A bunch of safeties that were told right before the game that they were just going to get a moment's notice start because they lost Duggar a couple hours prior to. And these guys, John Jones switching over from corner safety. And these guys played their asses off yesterday. They did everything their coach asked them and then some. And they put a little pride back in the old red, white, and silver yesterday. Red, white, blue, and silver. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I hope other people did, and I hope they enjoy several more the rest of the way.
I also went into the game yesterday saying that I was concerned about the coaching, and I wanted to see the team play with pride, which is what you just said there. And I think it really matters. if you want to develop Drake May, he can't be in a completely dysfunctional operation for the rest of the year. It will not help
him. A vacuum of dysfunction? No, it'd be the worst thing for him.
It will not help him progress. It won't help him grow. So you may think, okay, the quickest way to develop a quarterback is just to go get him some receiver that you get to grab with the number one or number two pick or something like that, like, you know, like the Bengals did so many years ago. But it's not just that. You can't have him going through hoping that he plays, you know, the next 9 weeks just in a complete crap show like we saw. I just don't know how you look at that and you say, like, I can understand you watching it and say, God, there's really only one really great thing about this program right now, and it's Drake May. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with you in some sense. But if you care about that part of it, then you should care about what's around him and that it's at least baseline professional, functional enough to be competitive with a team like the dumpster fire that is those Jets. Because this is one thing that I think I haven't heard enough about today, which is how bad the Jets are.
Oh, they are just bad.
They're a different team than they were when you saw them in Thursday night. Like in Thursday night football. They're a different team with Salah gone.
How did they devolve so that quickly, Mego?
Well, because they fired their coach. They fired their coach too early. They have Rodgers looks like a hired hand who doesn't want to be out there.
Or as Andy described Aaron Rodgers last night on postgame.
And now he's a saggy boob.
Oh, okay. gravity's gotten to him. 8 penalties for 55 yards. Like, that sounds more like who you were over the last 2 weeks. So, look, you beat the stinky Jets. Takes you back to the old days when you were more respectable than the Jets. But I do think that it's really important to have some baseline competence. There's a big difference. I said this last week and I stand by it. There's a big difference between being a 1-win team and being a 4-win team. And being a 4-win team still got you Drake May last year. Now, I understand if you watched games yesterday and you said, oof, look at that Jaden Daniels. Might have been nice to take him, but I'm happy with
and
Drake
12
May.
Minutes in, we have our first Jaden Daniels reference from Megan.
I'm happy with Drake May.
Is that her, you people, Joe?
Well, I mean, considering what happened yesterday, we were here in the studio and we both yelled out loud, so I think Mega.
Oh, we lost it. Mega, we lost our mind.
Yeah,
Mega,
she is allowed to take a victory lap.
The words that I uttered cannot be said on the radio. It was just a string of expletives, basically.
Weird. Same here.
Must have been something that rhymed with Moley Reffing Schmidt.
No, it was just a lot of F-bombs.
It was wild. It was easily the thrill. Like, I dare any game the rest of the year to surpass the thrill of that final play. I also do not dare anyone else to replicate the stupidity of Matt Uber Dips or whatever his name is, Aberflush. And that cornerback.
We just call him number 29.
Oh, God. That cornerback that was, you know, flipping off the fans and waving goodbye. And he's the one who tips it into the arms of Noah Brown. Sometimes you get the world and or the result you deserve. Yeah. But back to what you were saying about the, you know, the coach and then the subsequent culture that you would get. You know, I don't know how many guys right now, if I had to assess the 53 as it stands now, knowing full well who's injured temporarily on IR, who's on long-term IR, and who we think is gone, baby, gone. Like, maybe half of this team returns next year. Who knows? I don't even know how many of these guys would be wanted or be starters on a lot of other teams. But that gives me somewhere between, like, a hard luck, you know, a bad news Bears and a hard luck Charlie vibe on this team. And then all of a sudden, they're immediate grinded out underdogs. We returned a little bit to the, I won't say they went full take them to the hill like they went week one, but they played hard, tough-nosed football yesterday. And that makes fans proud. Like, you always saw effort. I didn't hear one person come out after the game, Mego, and say, you know, guys were making business decisions. Guys were freelancing. Guys were quitting. I didn't hear about any quit yesterday. So maybe, just maybe in the end, the way Gerard Mayo went about critiquing his team and assessing their effort worked in the end.
That's would be funny, though, if, like, I went into the locker room and, you know, I was talking to Ben Brown or someone, and I was like, so what about, you know, how did you find this as a team? And he's like, well, most of us did, but, you know, Vidarian over there was making some business decisions.
Yeah, it seemed like he really didn't care in the end, honestly. He's preserving himself for the Tennessee game. Yeah, like now, we just went from you know, okay, great, one win season, two win season, more people yelling at each other. Social media was just a toxic, absolutely toxic waste fire. Ownership's got to go.
Something different now, like, than usual.
Right, exactly. A totally different tone for social media. To now, like, hey, wait a second, maybe they could win next week as well. That would be fun. I think I like wins. I noticed for a fact today, I just felt generally better because I watched a fun football game. My team came out on top as well. And a lot of guys taught themselves how to win all over again yesterday. And since I love a good redemption story, I'm thrilled for Jacoby Brissett, because you want to talk about somebody who had to crawl through broken glass and barbed wire just to get through five games of hell, only to be benched for the hotshot rookie. And to get to come back in yesterday, play the way he did, and be the main reason, quite honestly, aside from the suck-suckery and suckitude of the Jets, to be the main reason why the Patriots won, I think it's great.
Yeah, I would just say, let's remember him this way.
Yep.
This is how we want to remember him. Let's bring back, let's get Drake May healthy, let's get him back out there, and let's just remember Jacoby this way.
You know what it's sort of like, Mego? It's like we were in a relationship, we knew it was time to break up, and then we ran into each other, like, you know, we as Pats fans and Jacoby ran into each other at a bar, and we're like, why did we ever get mad at each other? And then the drinks started to flow. Then there was just a little thing that night. Everyone woke up the next day and was like, all right, that's it. Like, let's not do this ever again. But that was great.
Yeah, let's continue living in different cities.
617-779-7937 is how you get in touch with the program. We'll get to your calls when we come back. Also, because there was a trade, we're going to get to what the impact of Josh Uche departing the Patriots means. Who else may actually be on the way out? I'd like to ask you, Mego, if you think there's anyone around the league the Patriots would possibly target to bring in if other teams are shedding themselves of some high-priced veterans or potential free agents. The state of May, the state of Mayo, all good things Patriots until 7:30 tonight when we throw it to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football. But until then, there's lots of other sports news, and the only person to catch you up on it is Joe Braverman.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The big news of the day from Patriots camp was not yesterday's win. It was the fact that the team has traded pass rusher Josh Uche to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 2026 sixth round pick. Uche was a healthy scratch in yesterday's win over the Jets. He's got two sacks on the year in six games after re-signing this past offseason on a one-year, $3 million deal. Head coach Gerard Mayo spoke this morning talking about yesterday's game, about Drake May landing in concussion protocol after leaving yesterday's win with a head injury.
You know, I was surprised when Waylon told me he had to go to the medical tent, because he threw a couple of good balls afterwards, and I thought he was still pretty sharp in those regards. But, you know, obviously it's above my pay grade as far as like pulling him out of the game and putting him in the protocol.
Pats will start gearing up for the Titans next Sunday in Nashville. Week 8 in the NFL wraps up tonight with the Giants taking on the Steelers. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM, beginning at 7:30, following Fitzy and Mego. The Celtics are back home, and they welcome the Milwaukee Bucks to town. Sam Hauser will miss his third straight game due to low back pain. Giannis Antetokounmpo was a game-time decision with a knee issue, but Coach Doc Rivers in his pregame press conference says that the Greek Freak will play tonight. Tip-off from TD Garden is set for 7:30. Off the court, Jason Tatum was named the season's first Eastern Conference Player of the Week after averaging 33 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists in the team's first 3 wins. And it's Game 3 of the World Series. The Dodgers currently lead the Yankees 2-0 as the series shifts to Yankee Stadium. Shohei Ohtani is officially in the lineup after leaving Game 2 with a shoulder injury. Walker Buehler and Clark Schmidt is your pitching matchup. First pitch from the Bronx is set for 8:08. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
For me, though, like, situations change. And I would always say I always reserve the right to change my mind, no matter what we're talking about. Who's starting, who's not starting. Like, I always reserve that right. And, you know, we talk about transparency, which I've tried to be with all of you guys. And to me, transparency is what I want you to see. I'm not going to say everything that is under the curtain? No. But at the same time, the relationship with the media, I think, is important. So even in saying that, you say it's a fever pitch. For me, it doesn't matter. As long as the fam's straight, I'm straight.
Gerard Mayo on his Patriots Monday appearance on the Greg Hill Show from Gillette Stadium earlier this morning. It's Fitzy and Mago coming to you on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI. All of our tremendous affiliates throughout New England and Patriots and Red Sox Nation and beyond. EEI.com. And of course, if you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app, good Lord, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? AUDACY, so you can take all your favorite shows and our podcasts like Hashtag Dork, Six Rings and Football Things, Slammed, The Skate Pod, and so much more with you, and listen on your schedule and at your convenience. Mego, I thought this morning, I listened to the totality live of Gerard Mayo, and I know winning cures all, and it's the great balm and panacea for everything that ails you or that bothers you, but I felt like maybe there was a bit of validation to his methodology over the past week, 10 days or so, and therefore he felt confident. Like, he wasn't too glib, he wasn't too goofy, he also wasn't too stern or Belichickian. I feel like this is the guy we're going to get. He made reference to the fact that, you know, he's such a smart dude. People don't give him enough credit for this. You know, he's just a puppet of the crafts. No, he's not. He's a smart guy. And he reminded them, like, hey, I was the 7th overall pick. I was rookie of the year. I was a Pro Bowler. Not that he was flexing on people during the interview, but he at one point he said, like, hey, listen, I understand you guys have to do what you have to do because you have to sell advertisements. He didn't even go to, like, the idea of, like, ratings or engaged listeners. He knows exactly, like, that's how radio works. The more people that listen, the more people want to advertise, the more you can charge the rates. Like, he was like, firm and in control. I really liked the Mayo that I heard talking this morning with the crew.
I mostly did. I thought he sounded like he felt pretty vindicated. And he's never going to say that. But I think if you gave him some truth serum, that's what he would say, is that him calling the team soft at the beginning of last week after that soft performance in London. I still wish he hadn't walked it back and said, okay, like, actually they're playing soft. I wasn't saying it was a soft team overall. Correct. They were just soft that day on Sunday in London. Mm-hmm. I thought that it showed that he feels like he's connecting with this team. And I think that's something that he takes a lot of pride in, is being able to connect with the guys in the locker room and have an authentic relationship with the locker room. Mm-hmm. And it's been tough to see that because of the leadership in the locker room that they've lost through injuries. And in Jabril Peppers' situation, like, something that could be very nefarious. So it's all to say, like, I heard his entire interview as well. Although I'll say I had to pause the interview. I was listening live because I was trying to handle a smoke detector in my building. And I've never dealt with this, but the smoke detector, it wouldn't stop chirping. And it was hardwired. I replaced the battery.
We weren't talking about a 9-volt.
I replaced the 9-volt battery because I thought maybe the backup battery is doing something weird. Kept chirping. Had to go back and rip the thing out of the ceiling. And then the one that's down at the bottom of the staircase started chirping.
Oh, like sympathy chirps?
Yeah, like, what? And so then I had to go down and rip that one out, too.
I doubt they both, like, because sometimes after a carbon monoxide / fire detector or combo expires, like, they start letting you know, like, my filter is full or I'm done or, like.
No, and this wasn't like they were going off because of smoke or anything.
I know what they were doing.
They were just chirping quietly. And I was like, what is this? I was replacing the batteries and they were still chirping. I was ripping them out of the ceiling. And then they were chirping when they were ripped out of the ceiling because they still had some power left. I was like, what are
they
these
were chirping.
Zombie smoke detectors?
If so they were chirping a lot, they'd fit in nicely in the Patriots wide receiver room.
Yeah, they were chirping. They were chirping like KJ Osborne.
Right.
Give me the ball.
Exactly.
Beep. I got the best hands.
Yeah. So anyway,
yeah, no, I got you on the Mayo interview though.
No,
like,
no,
yeah,
I
he
listened
does
to
feel
the whole
a little
thing.
Vindicated.
I think he, look, he was clearly happy to get the win. I wouldn't say it was snark, but he did get a little sassy with the morning show at times.
I feel like, you know, Brissett did last night after in his post game interview, Brissett took heat for a month plus, and Mayo really had the hammer dropped on him over the past week as well. So I kind of don't mind that. But at the same time, and to your calls momentarily, but I did want to share this little piece of audio post-game. One of the toughest guys, one of the building blocks, one of the pillars of the toughness who was called into question last week after they got run over and trampled by the Jags, Keon White actually spoke to Mayo's soft comments and how they were received as a team and how they responded yesterday. If you could share that, Joe.
Somebody calls you out as a man, you can't get all sensitive about it. You have to just say, okay, I'm going to show you, and take it as a challenge and take it as a rise. And I think we did that. And that just is a testament of his coaching and how we were receptive to him as a coach, because we didn't get defensive and we didn't shut down. We took it as a challenge.
Okay. I mean, he challenged his football team and they answered the call. Now, granted, they probably... But that was probably the right football team to do it against as well. You're not in control of the schedule. You're only in control of your own effort at that given time. So it seemed that the stars aligned yesterday. Let's go to the phones. Let's hear what our good Patriots people have to say tonight. Mego, line one, our old pal Dan in Rhode Island. Hello, Dan from Cranston.
Hey, F to the I to the TZY and Miss Mego. How are you tonight?
What's up, Dan?
A-OK, my guy.
Yeah, better than the last 6 weeks. A couple things real quick. Look, I every team in this league is going to win games. I mean, there's not going to be like three or four teams that go 1-16.
Have you seen Carolina play?
They're going to be the one. I'm saying there's not going to be, you know, four or five. And like just like the Browns yesterday winning against the, you know, Ravens. Stuff happens. But I guess, you know, if you asked every fan, if you knew that the Patriots were only going to win one game the rest of the year, how many would have picked yesterday? Probably the vast majority, if I had to guess.
You think so?
Myself included.
I don't think anybody really
they were
picked
lose
yesterday.
No. That's not what I meant. If you had to pick one game for the Patriots to win for the rest of the year, mm-hmm. just because you want to see them beat that team, it's the Jets.
I see.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People say America runs on Duncan. I say New England runs on Schadenfreude.
Absolutely. And my other point is, like, look, this is different than last year. Like, the draft, we needed a quarterback. We have a lot more flexibility now to where we're going to end up. I think the Patriots, when all is said and done, are probably going to be right around that 4-win mark, like everyone, like Vegas said they're going to be. So they'll probably be in the top five. And sure, if they were the one or two, fine. But, you know, we're in a different position now. So I don't really care where it is as long as it's still a premium pick. But, I mean, like last year was different because, point, you didn't want them to win because it was late in the year and you knew where the quarterbacks were at. Mm. We're not there anymore. So, it's different. But, I mean, it was a good win. It's nice that they're competitive and, you know, they'll probably pick up maybe two or three more wins. And, you know, I do hope they lose to Tennessee, to be honest with you, because that's a team that they'll be in competition with. They'll probably beat Tennessee. You'll probably win a couple more games as well. You know, beat Buffalo again, beat Miami, beat the teams in the division if you got to win some. But, you know, it was fun. They're on the way up, and, you know, it was a fun Sunday. It's a lot better talking to you guys on Monday with a win and more positivity than the old Siberian death match, you know.
That's what I'm talking about, Danny. Thanks for the call, brother. Yes, everything was a little bit – I got out of bed quicker today. My ride home was more joyous. Listening to the radio was fun. It didn't feel like a chore. There was nothing laborious about going through our days, Mego. I hate to say it, like, we got so used to it, we were so, like, normalized by it, and it was less intoxicating and more like a drug we needed to just sustain ourselves. And as it's slowly been taken away from us over the last couple of years, now we jones for it, and I almost forgot what it's like, what it feels like to win. And they've only won two out of the first eight games as well. Now, I don't think I would say that my estimation for how many more games they'll win this season has improved drastically. Do I think 5-12 is realistic, 6-11 at best? Yes. Are they going to get blown out a few times? Maybe. Although they haven't really been blown out since Drake May has been in. I know it was a lopsided affair against the Texans, but there were a couple of times it felt like he was getting them back into that game as well. They got trampled in the second half against the Jags, but still, like, nothing has felt disastrous. Not like last year when they lose 38-3 in Dallas. And watch what we do for a follow-up. Lose at home 34-0 to the Saints. Like, that was truly, that was the valley. That was the nadir of the Patriots' experience for the last half century.
Last
half decade.
I could find two more wins. Like, I would put money on two more wins. I actually don't gamble, but I would put money if, like, I would feel more sure of the opportunity against Tennessee and against Indianapolis. Maybe you could get another win if in that final Bills game they don't have something to play for, so they're sitting starters. You know, if you want to win that way.
They already won the AFC East.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to win that way, then...
Yeah, you could win both of them because they'll sit them out in week 16.
You don't want to be too rusty going into the playoffs. I could see that. So, I don't know. I feel like kind of best case scenario, you're probably getting to 5 wins. But going back to the beginning of Dan's call there, which I enjoyed, him talking about we're in a different position... The Patriots are, rather, than they were last year with what they're looking at in the draft. Yes, I do think you're in a totally different position when you're looking for a quarterback in the draft than when you're looking for a tackle or a wide receiver, which, if they're smart, is what they're going to be looking for. I prefer tackle because I just don't know how else you're really going to find one.
Just give me a cylinder block. Just give me some trench beef that'll just get in the way of the quarterback for the next 10 years, please.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a gamble too. Like everything, even though you're taking somebody in the first round, doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to hit. And I would like them to take a tackle, but I agree. Like, you don't need to be so precious about the exact player that you're going to get. I feel that way. I haven't checked their standings as of today, though. There's still a lot of games.
Let me tell you,
play.
The Titans straight up stink. They're super not good.
I mean, there might be some heads rolling there. Brian Callahan's having trouble on Sunday.
Will Levis is just god awful. It's a bad situation down there as well. I wouldn't be surprised as we near the trade deadline again. Why it's on election day, I have no idea. But as we near the trade deadline,
like we needed more stress.
Yeah. Well, because I need to toggle back and forth between Fox News, CNN, NFL Network, ESPN, WEEI, WEEI.com. Did the Pats trade anyone? What are the latest results? What are the mail-in votes going on? Which phone of Schefter's is buzzing on the
which
desk
right now? Which election boxes are on fire?
Oh, my God.
Which ballot boxes are in flames?
That's so freaking NFL. But, like, the Titans already moved on from DeAndre Hopkins as well. Chiefs, by the way, good for them. If you've got a window, go for it. You know what? Pick up an extra pass rusher. Pick up a dependable target if you lost a couple of guys. Good for them. I have a ton of friends that are Chiefs fans, and they all texted me today about, you know, what are we getting in this guy? And we'll get more into that trade and who else we could possibly see going in the next break. But, you know, it's not great value that they got back. And hopefully maybe they get a decent situational pass rusher.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't really get the move. It just seems very marginal to me. So maybe they feel like it's just worth it to move him when they can move him. And they get a six-round
pick. He's on a one-year deal.
Yeah, for 2 years from now. And he clearly, like, you know, he hadn't carved out a role for himself in this particular team.
Yeah, he had the guy that runs too far upfield and doesn't sack the quarterback as much as he used to.
He was great in 2022.
He definitely missed Judon.
He was great in 2022. He's never really found that again.
Nope.
I don't know how much of an impact he would have the rest of this year. To me, it's just not something that I can really have like a super strong reaction to because I go, it's a move on the margins. And I'm not really sure how many moves you can make that are going to be anything but that. Do you have anybody who you can trade? Who you're going to get back a third round pick, a fourth round pick?
Potentially, yes, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, one more call before the break. Mego, David is in the car. Good evening, David. How are you, sir?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thank you for taking the call. Before I get to my point, Mego, when that happens with smoke detectors, when you put a new battery, you have to reset.
I did. I tried it, and I did the thing. I held the button and it makes that horrible noise for 30 seconds, and it didn't work. The thing's 12 years
sometimes
old.
Sometimes it's dust in air. Could be like dust or anything like that can set those things off. Yeah, they can be a pain.
It's the Aaron Rodgers of smoke detectors. It needs to be replaced.
That's what it is. But I was happy with the win yesterday, and I have a concern. My concern is with Drake May. that if they rush him back this week, I know we want him back, we want to see him back, but I think they need to let him sit out. This third game in the NFL, concussion already, whatever's going on, we don't know the details, but it's a concern, and I think the worst thing they can do is rush him back. I think let him rest another week, you know. It's one of those games that doesn't really mean much, and I think will be the right thing to do. But I am happy for Jacoby Brissett. He took it like a champ. He came in and he put a hell of a, you know, of a drive together at the end. And the team seems like they were rallying around him. They were happy for him. And I did enjoy that. I thought that was very nice. I thought that was really good.
Same here, David. And thanks for the call. See, there was more than just like, oh, the Pats win. Like, there was a nice little storyline to it all as well. Jacoby Brissett got his redemption. So the first half of the season began with a surprising win against a team that was woefully unprepared and, as we're seeing, isn't nearly as good as a lot of offseason analysts and prognosticators said that they might be. Then they went through hell for a month and a half, and then Jacoby Brissett redeemed the back half. So the first half of the season, bookmarked with wins that Jacoby Brissett steered the team toward, and then a whole lot of crap in the middle. Let's see if we can get a little less crap in the middle in the second half of the season, Mego.
Again, to me, like, I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, I do think that this year is about developing the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see how you develop a quarterback if he's surrounded by complete chaos and dysfunction for the entire year. I would be happy to see several more games that are more in line with the competitive level of the Seattle game. But mm-hmm. the two games before this win that Drake May was in, when you're totally uncompetitive, is not really doing much for your quarterback. When you're pulling up stats and you're putting up numbers in fourth quarters and you're down by three scores, you might as well be Matthew Stafford with Detroit. Like, it doesn't really get you anywhere. It's just kind of a waste.
And that's exactly what the Patriots need to avoid via the trade deadline, free agency, the upcoming draft. And when I say upcoming draft, my word, it's 7 months away. But all of that as well. That's exactly what they need to avoid. And there are those who probably believe that, you know, the baptism by fire of seeing how Drake will thrive in a chaotic environment like it's been the last week to 10 days or so could be a good test. That's not the sim that I want him to go through. The guy has enough learning the playbook, developing chemistry with the backs, receivers, offensive linemen, and avoiding the oncoming juggernauts that are trying to fold him like a card table and end him as well. That's enough for the 22-year-old as far as I'm concerned. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Hop on in if you'd like. When we come back, we'll talk about the Uchay trade. Who else we think we could possibly see traded? Is there anyone you would like the Patriots to trade? Anyone you would like to see the Patriots maybe make a move for preemptively, a la sort of last year, Mego, your Commanders to Bears Montez Sweat trade? Could the Patriots possibly have someone in mind around the deadline? We'll get to all of that and then some. We're here with you to 7:30. Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
Well, I assume it was a 25-6th. It was a 26-6th, then honestly, then they didn't give up anything in my mind. And then if you like the player and re-sign him, then you re-sign him. Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, you know, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get-off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
Oh, really, Bill? So he had a good year 2 years ago when Judon was healthy all season.
What happened last year?
Yeah, what happened last year? Oh, did Judon get hurt and the Pats got blown out a bunch? Oh, he wasn't able to get too many opportunities this year, Coach? How convenient you left that out of the narrative, William Belichick. Interesting indeed. That was Bill Belichick today on the Pat McAfee Show, reacting live to the news that Josh Uche...
I don't even know what that means, but whatever.
Excuse me, Joshua Uche. I like Josh Uche. You know the problem is? He lost all of his swag when he went to Joshua Uche. Josh Uche could get after the passer. Joshua Uche was too nice, Mego.
And it helped out football fans like my sister, who calls him Ooch instead of Uche.
Right. Yeah, like it's not Utz chips, it's Utz. See, I like to Josh Uche, like Utz.
I just feel that if somebody mispronounces your name like a couple times, you got to tell them early on.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get right to that. You can't hang around for a couple years and then all of a sudden say, actually, this is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, but you've let us call you this for four years. Yeah, at now, that all point, of a sudden,
it's just too far ingrained. The thing that drives me nuts is when people call me Megan.
Who calls you Megan?
It's like, I don't know. It's a pronunciation thing. It's Megan. I mean, Megan. Most people call me Mego, but they don't call me Mago. It's very ugly to say Megan.
Megan.
No,
that's weird. Anyway, Belichick did offer a little bit about the Patriots earlier today as well when he was on the Pat McAfee show. Said it was a good win for them. Did not talk about how it was validating for Gerard Mayo or that he was happy for Gerard Mayo. Can't do that. I think that goes against the contract, the grain, and the character. But then he did pivot like most people, both on the radio and in mass media in general, and say that this was really all about the Jets. And then that turned into him crapping all over the Jets.
Which is
kind of fun. And then somehow there was a replay yesterday that got botched in the NFL, and that brought up that picked at the scab of the Champ Bailey Ben Watson play from 20 years ago. And I will go to my grave saying that was absolutely a touchback, and the Pats got hosed a mile high in the sky that particular playoff night. Before we get back to the trade talk, Mego, the phones we go. Let's give someone who wasn't very happy about yesterday's win a chance to state their case. Good evening, Jake.
Sup, boy? Sup, girl? Listen, yesterday accomplished nothing. And this is, you watch Jaden Daniels, and I know Megan felt some things, who you could have had you dropped and gagged that Christmas Eve game in Denver last year. That's why you tank. That's why you tank. But I want to hit on the Josh Uche trade, and let's call it what it is. Robert Kraft just gave the Chiefs a pass rusher to line up alongside Chris Jones just to placate Taylor Swift, who was making three-peat gestures during the Eras Tour in New Orleans last weekend, knowing full well the Super Bowl ends there. Because one, Robert needs to brag about having famous friends. He's the neediest man on earth. And Taylor made a top secret trip to Gillette a couple weeks ago during the Dolphins game to kiss that ring, something no one knows about. Second, Robert knows he will probably be gone by the time Mahomes gets his eighth ring or the Chiefs get their seventh. So he'd rather be friends with Taylor Swift than, say, protect his status as the best NFL dynasty of all time. So he just gave Steve Spagnuolo a pass rusher who will make a big play to win the Super Bowl. We all know that's happening. And will give Mahomes a fourth ring, give the Chiefs a three-peat, and give the Chiefs, a fifth ring en route to their seventh overall. Listen to you dumb townie Patriot fans defending this man. He hates you. He just pissed all over the world.
All right. That's all right. It was fun until we got it. He does not hate everybody.
Anytime
word.
A Jake in Boston call involves Taylor Swift, I need a bulletin board in front of me with yarn that I can connect it because it goes so far
it's
off.
It's definitely
the
like Charlie and It's I'm Always not, Sunny I'm, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. I'm honestly just not up in enough Taylor Swift rumors or reports.
A secret trip to Foxborough a couple weeks ago to like kiss the ring and he gave Uche
about?
To the cheat.
I'm like, she's still with Kelsey, right? I know that much. I don't.
Yes, I think
really Swelsey
still is alive and well.
I don't know much else about it or her.
I've heard so much less about it this year, and I feel like I'm a better person for having heard much less about it this year.
Yeah,
that is not the reason why he was traded there.
The Swift thing has never been a lightning rod topic for me. So I find a lot of her music kind of just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. it's not really like my side
As
of the
They said
street.
In one of my favorite movies, not quite my tempo.
She's got some good songs, but sure. I don't know. I've also like Fitzy. You're more of this type of fan, so I wonder what's different here. Whether it's sports, music, actors, I've never been like an incredibly obsessive fan of an individual.
Hmm.
Not like
so
of
you're
a
saying
team.
I'm a psycho.
No. But like I've never yes. I've never looked at a celebrity and been like just so incredibly obsessed.
I want to wear their skin.
Kinda. The way that I can't imagine ever going online and like cyberbullying people because I feel like they're going after a celebrity that I like. I just can't. Even when I was maybe 12 years old and had pictures of people from magazines up in, on the walls in my bedroom, I can't imagine being that getting that heated over it, over somebody that I don't know.
Yeah, no, the one person obviously was, for me, was prime Tom Brady just because of all the joy that he delivered to me, my friends, my family, etc.
But would you like get into people's DMs and be like, F you, I know where you live?
Good Lord, no.
Okay.
That, I mean, not a bunch of people, like, just people, a couple every week.
People who are like Taylor Swift fans and Beyonce fans.
Oh, they're lunatics.
They get like very intense. It's just a thing that I don't get.
What that has to do again with the Josh Uche trade, I'm...
Has everything to do with it, apparently.
He's probably... You know what? Here's what's going to happen. He will go to Kansas City, and because they actually... You know, because they have Chanel and Karloftis and Jones, a really, really solid defense. The defense has, by the way, been carrying that team this year. Mahomes had a good game yesterday, a good-ish game. Not great, not Mahomesian by any standard. Their offense has not been carrying them. Then again, they've also lost Rashee Rice, they lost Pacheco. So when you lose your best receiver and you lose your best running back, oh, funny, just like when you lose your best safety, linebacker, and defensive lineman, your defense isn't the same. Your offense doesn't have the same firepower. Isn't that interesting how it works? So the Chiefs are loading up on the defense, and that makes a ton of sense for them. If they know that there is a pass rusher that the league let everyone know, and I saw Mike Giardi tweet out later, the Patriots have been very vocal and let the league know that they're open for business. And the Chiefs are thinking, if the price is right, why wouldn't we want to go get an extra pass rusher just so we can do anything we can, to better our chance to do the unthinkable and three-peat? Like, good for them. So they were aggressive. That's what winning teams that have a chance to win it all do.
The difference is, like, it's they can afford the luxury of that. Where it's a marginal move for the Patriots, and I go, I don't really think it makes you significantly worse not to have this version of Uche not with your team anymore. I don't think it makes you so much better to get a 6th-round pick for 2 years from now. But for it, for the Chiefs, I mean, that's somebody who could make a big play for you. You get to spend on fun little luxury stuff. Like, that's not where the Patriots are. The Patriots have to worry about buying their groceries. They don't get to go out and buy luxury handbags.
Did you see Josh Uche making an impact on this team the rest of the season or in the long haul? I mean, they signed him after an underwhelming 2023 without the bookend of Judon on the other side on a team that was performing poorly. Not great. Said he turned down multi-year offers. Probably should have taken them elsewhere. Now he gets a chance on a team that is striving for postseason, if not Super Bowl in NFL history, to make an impact. Then he can get his multi-year deal. Good for him. That's great. He wasn't going to make much of a difference here. The Patriots are scheming up the pass rush as opposed to trying to, you know, cry havoc and let's slip the ends of war here. Like, it's not, that's not how they're playing defense right now. And that's fine. I don't know who else they're necessarily, they're so not healthy on defense now. I don't know who takes his spot or who becomes the pass rush specialist at this point. I think there's just going to be a whole lot of bending and hopefully not breaking the rest of the way. As far as people I could see getting traded from the Patriots, I don't want them to trade John Jones, and I would be fine with them trading KJ Osborne for starters.
I think KJ Osborne is a pretty obvious one. I wonder about Kendrick Bourne, because he might be one of their more desirable trade pieces that they could part with, especially if you had somebody like, I don't know, San Francisco, who you clearly have a relationship with, he has a relationship with, who would boomerang back there. But at the same time, even Kendrick Bourne is coming off of serious injury, so it's not like there's so much there. I don't really know how. I saw, I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was that had it. I think it was on NBC Sports Boston.
Yeah.
Maybe Albert Breer talking about Devon Godchow perhaps being on the trade block.
Now, see, that would be a terrible idea.
That would be a pretty big piece of the locker room.
Terrible idea.
That's kind of one of the only tone setters that I think is in that locker room that's healthy and active. So
You don't have Barmore. You don't know if you're going to get him back. Equale has been dinged up because he's played more snaps already this
season
than he has over a whole season.
Although I loved Equale's commitment to the holiday yesterday. I wanted to go after the game and talk to him about his Michael Myers mask, but he was already gone, so I was kind of bummed.
Wait, did you saw the Michael Myers that Keon White came in, but that's what you're referencing, right?
No, wasn't that Daniel Equale?
Oh, I thought that was...
No,
that was
Daniel Quale, because he had a great tweet, or he had a great Instagram caption or tweet where he said, like, got 100 on the group project for 0% effort or something, because he was out.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
That's pretty... I like all the costumes coming in as well. There were some good ones yesterday at the stadium as well. And I would like to shout out Patriots fans, even some of the Jets fans who bought up tickets and filled the stadium. It was a packed house at the Reza yesterday. Beautiful weather, good energy, very long beer lines. The concessions were flowing and going. And nobody wore a paper bag over their head. So good on you, football fans in Foxborough. Good on you. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Just a few more minutes here of Fitzy and Mego. Don't you go anywhere. We would love to lead you by the hand right up till Monday Night Football here on EEI.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Like the rejoin, Joe. Like the rejoin. Well done.
Also, you can't see it, Fitzy, but Mego was just grinning from ear to ear throughout that entire clip.
So happy.
Oh, that's, Mego, that's got to be legitimately since the days of Rippon, Williams, Monk, who else, Theismann, that's BM before Mego, but like.
Well, let me put it this way, because Riggins was my favorite. When my family moved to Maryland, to the DC area, mm-hmm. it was 92. Mm-hmm. So it was like just at the very end of the last Super Bowl, the last Washington
Timmy Williams,
dynasty
Garrett
team.
Clark, yeah.
It felt like what I imagine it felt like after the third Super Bowl with the Patriots, where it was like the whole town was just about Washington football, and Washington mm-hmm. football was everything. And so that's kind of how I grew up in the aftermath of that. And for a while it was like, okay, this franchise is still all right. They're still competitive. And then it all went to crap. Then Dan Snyder came
Thanks
in.
Thanks to two words, one person,
oh,
Daniel Snyder.
It was such
what
a mess. So I don't want to go on too long with this because it's like, it's Washington sports, whatever. But it was very cool. I think you would appreciate that there's been this slow build over these first 8 weeks of the season where my friends and I, we kind of like text each other from home. My other Washington football fan friends who I grew up with being like, wow, did you see this? What do you think of this? Or, okay, the defense is a shell, but, you know, look what Jaden can do, blah, blah, blah. Last night, the amount of family members separately that I had calling me and text from home, it was just, I don't know that I've ever had a moment like that I could remember since being like 4 years old.
Joe Braverman, Zach Coe, and I, after we wrapped up the postgame show in studio, all screamed like girls that saw the Beatles walk out of the Pan Am Airways jet on the tarmac at Idlewild Airport in 1964. Like, we were losing our collective ish. That was beyond surreal. It is hands down the play of the NFL season. Already, you can call it. Nothing is going to top that.
And look,
that might be the best of the last 5 years.
What does it mean long term? I don't know. It's a regular season game against Chicago.
Oh, it means a ton long term.
But it's just,
no, it means a ton long term.
We've already had so many of these moments with this team and with this quarterback that it feels really special.
He's got two magical signature moments. There's this one, and then of course the win against Cincinnati on Monday Night Football was freaking phenomenal.
And basically any time that he targets Terry McLaurin. But anyway, this is for a different market. And so I just...
No, because I think people are interested, because I think folks, they're never going to follow Caleb Williams as closely in New England, because he was never going to be available to the Patriots because they were not going to get the first overall pick. And that was just duty bound straight to the Chicago Bears, thanks to the idiocy of David Tepper and everyone
right.
associated.
Oh, the poor Panthers.
Oh, they're just,
but I'll say
this. Are doomed to Hades. But like, you know, I would say Jaden Daniels and Drake May, because they went 2-3 or could have gone 3-2 in any which way. People around here, people down there are going to always be kind of curious how the other guy's performing. And I thought he would be good. I didn't think he would be this good. But again, the same way yesterday, Mego, that the Jets enabled the Patriots to stage that comeback, stepping in it over and over again and jetsing their way to another Jets loss. The Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus, like Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, and that cornerback all should have been forced to walk from RFK Stadium all the way back to Soldier Field. Like, yeah, that is an inexcusable performance. And I'm with everyone on ESPN this morning who spent more time breaking down that boneheaded decision not to cover Terry McLaurin on the 13-yard out, therefore allowing Jaden Daniels to step into his Hail Mary. He ain't going to throw the ball 80 yards unless they do that in the first place. And they gave him just enough runway to step up with a three-man rush. Oh, you cowards.
The thing with the Jaden Daniels and Drake May draft position is that I felt this way in the draft, and I'm very happy to say I still feel this way. I don't think you really could have gone wrong there. I don't know who could be watching Drake May over these last 2.3 games that he's gotten to play and say that they're unhappy with the Drake May experience. The kid is freaking awesome to watch. He's really, really fun.
He's got a zestier offensive coordinator.
Jaden Daniels has, yeah, and he also has a bigger body of work so far because he started week one. But it's so early to look at those evaluations and say, oh, you're better off with one or the other. The only thing that I will say is Drake does scare me a little bit. Jaden scares me way more because, I mean, he's built like me. He's built like a toothpick out there, and it's just like I'm worried he's going to get broken in half one of these weeks. But Drake, the morning show, the Greg Hill show, had an interesting question just about, you know, Drake's availability and the injury that he had with his head injury yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I thought Mayo's answer was interesting, but also honest, which is if Drake is going to take off when the line gives him the opportunity to have those kind of outside runs for 17 yards, 18 yards, 15 yards, 11 yards, and it's really fun to watch, he's got to be able to read the situation to protect himself. I'm not saying like it's his fault that he took a helmet-to-helmet collision. I don't feel that way at all, but I do think that it's unfortunately a very valuable lesson that every quarterback who plays that style has to learn about how to slide early and maybe be a little bit more cautious, not making a business decision, just making yourself, protecting yourself in what is still a pretty violent game.
Yeah, I'm glad that we didn't have a lot of overreactionary calls yesterday, today. See, this is what happens. I told you, you're playing behind that line. You're going to get killed. Because that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, how do you make that argument? You know, like it was a bad hit, and it happens, and it definitely happens when you turn into a free runner out there. It happened to Josh Allen a couple weeks ago. He got his bell rung. I think he was probably concussed, and he
should not have finished that game against the Texans. No, not by any stretch. I want to get more into this in a second, but let's go back to the phones real quick. Adam in Milton, a.k.a. one of my athletic rivals growing up in the South Shore in Braintree. Adam, what's up?
Well, how are you? Hey, great show. Mego, we miss you on the 2-6 show. You're awesome.
Thank you.
You know what? I can't believe how happy I was when they converted that 4th-and-1. Like, I'm a Patriots fan for life, and, like, I screamed out loud. And now, having said that, like, you win another game. You know, you got 3 out of the next 4 against losing teams, and then you go ahead and trade Uche. Like, to me, I don't know. That was annoying just because I know they're not going to win the Super Bowl, but it's almost sending a message that it was a good win, but now what's going to happen?
Well, he was a healthy scratch yesterday, Adam.
Yeah, so that was definitely the plan.
The writing was on the wall, and we thank you for the call. And thanks for all the beatings on Thanksgiving morning, Milton over Braintree. We appreciate those very much. If he's not going to be part of the long-term answer, then best just set him free, get a little something for the effort as well. Judon obviously was not, and they didn't believe that whatever the scheme is, that Josh Uche was going to fit. Okay, fine, so set him free and get a little something for the effort along the way. I don't think it sends the wrong message to anyone else on the team like, hey, we're just more interested in capital and rebooting the entire franchise. So you're all a bunch of disposable parts to us. We don't value you as men. We don't value your contributions. We think very little of you as a player. Like, no. I think right from Jump Street, from day one, whenever trades were considered for the 2024 iteration of the Patriots, Uche was on the table. And I don't think anyone is really surprised that he was first off the deck. Maybe KJ Osborne as well, but I think he's as good as gone as well, because as far as that particular trade, that one makes way more sense because you open up more opportunities for Tyquan Thornton to come in and take 17 steps for every 10 that a normal wide receiver would take. Maybe you get Javon Baker back in the fold. If Jalen Polk recovers well from having been in concussion protocol, maybe he can make some baby steps toward getting back to what they thought they saw in him when he went pick 37 overall. That would make sense. Like KJ Osborne, I got to be honest. I think they brought him in almost as a security blanket. He was like a floor level replacement for
Kendrick Bourne. I think they just felt like they needed a veteran there.
Yeah.
They needed a veteran in that room. I'm not sure how much of an effect he's had.
He never distinguished himself in training camp.
I understand what Adam is saying in a little bit about when you're trying to establish culture and you're sitting here before Halloween and trading players away, does it look like you're waving the white flag? And I honestly think that that's just the line that they've been walking the entire season. The expectations for this team were so low. Right. And it's clear that we've heard these terms like resetting and developing straight from the coach's mouth. So I think that they've gotten a lot more transparent over the last couple of weeks with that. And I wonder if it's because they're playing Drake May. So they're like, hey, look, we're playing the rookie now. You know, like you can't get mad at us. We're playing the rookie like you wanted and we're developing him. And that's what this season's about. And so I understand what he's saying. I just think at some point, yes, you want your locker room to feel competitive week to week and for there to be ultimately buy-in. But at the same time, it's the reality of the situation. You were a one-win team before yesterday. You're a two-win team now. You're not going to make the playoffs. And so you have to think long-term. And most of the guys in that locker room should be professional and adult enough to at least understand that and still be able to go out and be ultra-competitive and motivated on Sundays.
Sorry, so let me ask you the ultimate long-term developmental question then, Mego.
Okay.
Do you believe it would be in the Patriots' best interest any portion of the rest of the way, starting with this Sunday in Nashville, all the way through maybe the Bears game, Rams game, who knows how long, to actually just sit Drake May?
No.
Like, you've seen what he can do.
No. Absolutely not. Well, okay, so I say this not knowing what his health condition is right now, and I went over the concussion protocols today from the league, and they have like four stages.
The five steps. The five steps, by the way, surprised me as well. I'm used to seven steps or sometimes 12 steps.
So there's a lot to go through. The only thing I could think of is if they felt like they were playing a team where because Drake going through the protocol is going to keep him from really being able to prepare for the game on Sunday, but you're playing Tennessee, and they're just as rotten as you are, if not off in a worse way. So I see it as if he's healthy enough, you don't sit him at all the rest of the season. You play him, you give him as much experience as you can get for him, and let him develop, especially if you're starting to find something with any of the guys on this team. I think the more experience that he gets out there to learn when the stakes are quite honestly very low for the team, then that's what you're looking for. Like, you can't just sit him back on the bench. I think that would mess with his head tremendously.
Yeah. See, if you're a little bit, even just slightly trepidatious about how everything's checking up in the up top for Drake May on Sunday, go ahead and sit him, because, you know, what are you going to lose? A football game? I mean, again, there seems to be a sizable portion of Pat's fandom and Pat's Nation that would be fine with that. I know they don't want to watch the product as much because they're not as thrilled with watching Jacoby Brissett under center, even after he just came off of that thrilling finish and the comeback against the Jets on Sunday. But, you know, Drake May is way sexier. It's way more interesting to watch him play. But if you're just even the slightest bit cautious or anxious about it, don't worry about it then. Don't drop the hammer. Don't pedal to the metal on it as well. But I have a feeling he's going to end up clearing things, because
me too.
He went back in the game, made a couple plays afterwards. Then someone whistled for him to go to the blue tent. Then they put him in the protocol. I bet you he's okay. And if I had to bet on it, I think he starts on Sunday. And it should be an interesting scene down there as well. A little bit of intel on the outside. Sunday is the game that all of the Patriots fan clubs from around the country have targeted.
To be the getaway game
because it's Nashville.
Yeah, that's fun.
Because it's Broadway and
Hattie. It is a good vacation spot.
It's an awesome getaway spot for the weekend as well. So there will be a sizable contingent of Patriots Nation in attendance at Nissan Stadium Sunday as well. Plus, it would be great for Drake to get his first full and complete win because, once again, just in case everybody forgot, the Titans are terrible.
Yes. Do not have another Jaguars situation. Let's just avoid that.
No. How about running
through the teams that aren't the Texans in that division?
Yeah, boy, the AFC South, man. That's a different kind of drug. But then again, what are we supposed to say when we got three teams sitting at 2-6 and a 6-2 team in Buffalo that's basically already won the division? All right, great job, Mego. Thank you very much, Joe Braverman. This has been Fitzy and Mego on a Monday night in advance of Monday Night Football on WEEI. She's at Megan_Ottolini. I'm your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY. Thanks for tuning in to us. We're with you each and every Monday night, recapping the Pats and priming you for Monday Night Football and the rest of your sports week. We will talk to you later on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. And don't forget, Slammed, everybody. Listen to them on the Odyssey app today or tomorrow or whenever. Goodbye.